What is up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of the Off Market Operator Podcast. I am your host, Koru Johnson. If you're new here, welcome. And today's show, we are going to talk about, it's a new style show. It's a show style I haven't done before. It's things that I wish I would have known that I know now 6-7 years ago. And for me being 25, immediately off the bat, a lot of that, for a lot of you guys, that might not hold an incredible amount of weight because you're going, man, this guy's 25. He's still a baby. But I have never had a job. I've been fully self-employed since I was 18. And I think over the last 7 years, I've learned a lot of things that I now, if I knew at the beginning of my journey, would have expedited it in a lot of ways. So without further ado, let's get right into the show. People don't fail at real estate because they suck. They fail because there's too many ways to succeed. That's why I suggest you focus on the most important skill in all of real estate, which is finding deals. I'm Koru Johnson, and in this podcast, I share the exact steps I've used to source 400 deals by age 24. This will allow you to do three things: control your deal flow, make unlimited income, and build your empire as an off-market operator. All right, you guys, this show today is not about regret. It's not about mistakes. Everything that I've done, the partnerships that I've had, the ones that have succeeded, the ones that have failed, the lessons I've learned, the businesses I've built, the employees I've had to fire, had issues with, I wouldn't do away with any of it. I wouldn't change any of it. It's more about you guys earlier on your journey, how quickly you can pay down the ignorance debt, right? Dave Meltzer, who's a guy I've followed a lot of stuff for a long time, talks about that. You pay it down with time, or you pay it down with education. And I think one of the most memorable things to me in my life, I was 19, and 19, one of my grandpas was still alive, and I was taking him to Bible studies every Tuesday morning. Drive him to both of them. He had back-to-back Bible studies. And coincidentally, I don't know how this happened, but the same place where he had his second Bible study, one of the mornings was Dave Meltzer had a little meet and greet. And I remember going and shaking his hand and sitting there listening to him just talk about his thoughts on, you know, business and his purpose and big shift for me. So one of the things I'll say for you guys talking to my younger self is the one thing I was right on was understanding the value of compounding relationships. I think that's the one thing, if you take most things away from my career to date, that's the one thing that made the most shift, the most dramatic shift for me was those relationships. I talked about it a lot on the show, but I don't think there's some magical mentors out there waiting. You have to bring value, and that's the reality of the world. And people live in this bubble of, man, I can just DM a guy on Facebook and he'll just wanna grab coffee with me because I'm me. And I remember when I first started, I sent out all those Facebook messages, but very quickly realized these guys that I want to get to know, they're not freaking going to respond to my Facebook message. And I know now because I get those Facebook messages, and I try to respond in some way. But the biggest thing you guys can take from this is you need to trade something for that relationship. That's the reality of it. You need to trade equity in a deal. You need to find a way to make them money and bring value in their life, because a lot of these guys you look up to, they have families, they have kids, they are freaking busy. They're not ignoring you because they're bad people. They're ignoring you because they're freaking busy. And to get time on their calendar, to get them to take time away from their families and kids, to mentor you, to help you learn, to work on deals with you, whatever you're looking to have them teach you, there has to be some kind of tangible, understandable benefit. And that benefit can be as simple as you're fun to hang out with one day. But for now, you have to find some way to bring them value. So looking back, I would even double down more on that, on trading equity for relationships, because relationships are what truly move the needle across the board. The next thing is partnerships. I think partnerships are, I've made a lot of mistakes on that end, and I have really, really good partnerships, and I had some really, really rough partnerships. Not rough in the sense they weren't successful. Rough is in the sense of they ended worse than I would have liked. And a lot of that is because of, you know, me, myself, and I'm aware of that. And looking back to 18, 19, 20, one of the main reasons I was partnering with people in the first 2-3 years of my entrepreneurship journey was because of lonely, of fear, right? You don't want to go through the hard nights alone. You don't want to deal with the anxieties alone, the stress alone, the hiring alone, the employee problems, all of the things that business brings you. Yeah, they're easier to digest with other people. But one of the biggest things I would have, you know, understood going back is a partnership should do two things. One, a partnership should amplify your business at least 3 times. Meaning if you are doing $500,000 in revenue a year alone and a partnership's going to double that, to me, it's not worth it, right? Because now you have partnership and complexity around that to just do double the revenue, which oftentimes you're making the same or less, because at scale, your net margin, your bottom line does compress. And the second part of the partnership equation puzzle is you want them to 3X. So not 2X, 3X. And if I was going to partner with someone
and I'm doing $1 million a year, when that partnership will give me the $3 million, absolutely, I'll do that all day. To me, that is amplification. And that's the first part of a partnership. And the second thing is, to me, I have a rule now. I'm only going to partner with people that I admire. And that sounds kind of weird, but my most successful business partnerships have come from usually people older than me that are quasi mentors of mine that I truly admire. Why? Well, because it creates a level of respect and a level of understanding and a level of, you know, just a healthy partnership to me. So if it amplifies and I admire them, they don't have to be older. It could be someone younger. But if I admire them, their achievements, their background, to me, that's a really good sign that we're gonna have mutual respect and we're gonna be able to work through a lot of issues that you're gonna have in a business partnership. Because in a lot of ways, it's similar to a marriage, right? You're gonna have conflict, you're gonna have disagreements, you're going to have a lot of hard conversations. And if you respect that person, you admire that person, and you know they amplify what you're doing, it leads to a much better situation. And I think on the partnership side, a lot of people long-term, they don't look 3, 4, 5 years down the road. You need to, right? As the company grows, what's that going to look like? Because I think a lot of people have the issue in partnerships where one of the partners gets to kind of step back in the business in terms of hardcore day-to-day activities sooner than the other. And that can create conflicts. So you guys want to talk about what that looks like. You want to have conversations around roles, around pay, around other things you want to do. You want to treat it like you would a marriage or a serious relationship. You want to treat it with that kind of level of respect and long-term thinking. You know, you wouldn't marry someone without thinking 3, 5, 10 years down the road of what that's going to look like. Well, some people do, but I feel like it's not a smart thing to do. And so you want to treat this the same way. You want to make sure you're looking down the road and processing that way. So that's partnerships. Partnerships are a big one people mess up on. The next thing I would tell myself, especially going back, if I can tell my 19 or 20 year old self, would be, you know, that is 19 and 20, I'd say 18, 19, 20 is when I first started making serious money. Call it. Like, to me, that was at the time was I had a lot of money to play with. And one of the things I didn't do, which in hindsight is 2020, but for you guys out there that are wholesaling your first few deals, I would have found a way to partner with people and buy those deals, because a lot of those homes in like Tacoma, Washington that I was wholesaling for $230,000 back in 2018, 2019 are now worth $500,000-$700,000. And yeah, anyone could say that, and it's hindsight is 2020, but I would have definitely slowed down and understood why I was doing what I was doing. And you guys all should ask yourself that question. Why are you doing what you're doing? Where is this machine heading? And I didn't ask that question to myself, right? Where is this machine heading? Because if you're building a wholesale company, a flipping company, development company, you're not really building a sellable business. And so your net margin, your bottom line is really all that matters. And so you really need to understand what you're trying to build this machine for and what it's going to do for you. Are you building it to build another business on top of it, or are you just building it to scale it? And that's one of the big things that I didn't have a good grasp on early on as we grew, is understanding truly and focusing on our net margin and where we needed to be on that, because it's super, super important that you guys have a good feel on that. You have to have a good feel on your net margin and why you're doing what you're doing. Because if you're not, you're going to wake up one day and you're going to go, holy crap, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why I have these bills. And it's not a good place to be. Very, very, very big one there is understanding kind of why you're doing what you're doing. And it's definitely something I did when I was younger. And looking back, there's also a personal side of that. Like, as you make more money and start buying stuff, right, there's two questions I started asking myself as I'd buy more and more things. It's, if no one ever knew that I had this, would I still buy it? Yes or no? Okay. And that to me is a good barometer. If you are buying something for extrinsic value, which isn't there's no judgment against that. Like everyone does that at some point. Or are you buying that because you want it, right? So the question I started asking myself is, am I buying this thing because I want to post it on? If I can't post this thing on social media, I can't tell anyone I have it, do I still want it? And that question and that frame has changed my perspective on purchasing things. Because the reality is, the more you raise your personal expenses, the more you take away from your business growth. That's just a fact. The more you need to live personally, the more your business suffers. That's a fact. And it's a balance. You're going to have to find out what you're okay with. And I've had learning lessons along the way as well, because what one of my business partners and mentors for a long time told me is, once you turn the faucet on, it's hard to turn it off. And that's true. Once you turn the faucet on to $5,000 a month, it's very hard to turn it back to 2 or 3. So you want to be aware of that. That's something I would have been more aware of early on. And the last one I'll talk about for this show, because I'm gonna make a lot more shows in this format, is just understanding like the reps it takes, and the reps in hiring, is especially like Everyone wants to be good at hiring. They want to have good people. They want to have a good team. But it takes an insane amount of reps, an insane amount of hires, fires, employee issues, lawsuits. So I've been with employees. Those things are all part of the game of building those muscles of delegation, of hiring, of team building, of organization, of leadership. It's a repetition thing. You don't wake up and just have it because you read a book or listen to a podcast, and being okay with that and being okay with the struggle, right? When you go to the gym and you leave sore, you don't go, oh my goodness, something's wrong, my body's broken. You go, this is the natural process of getting better. And so when you're stressed or you have a bad week in business, you don't need to leave the week going, man, I should quit, I should shut this down. It's just the natural process of getting better. That's something I've really started to hone in on that I wish I definitely understood and internalized more earlier on in the journey. But first off, thanks for sticking around for the last 10 minutes or so. As always, I'm going to keep these 10 minutes, even these kind of bite-sized ones. We have a lot of good interview episodes coming out as well. But in terms of these bite-sized ones, I like to keep them shorter and more compact. But again, this was not to go back and talk about regrets. I wouldn't change anything. It's just more helping you guys expedite your journey based on things that I have learned throughout mine. So as always, a like, a share, a review means the world. We don't run any paid ads on this podcast. This only grows from my organic social media and you guys telling your friends, cousins, family members about what we do here at Off Market Operator. So as always, you guys out there hunting for that next deal, you guys out there building your business, as always, you are truly only one deal away.